Mark would call it a sermonette. I did just want to share with you all, if the spot was reversed, I would have wanted Mark here today for me and my family. So I will continue to do my best to pull us through this all today. I spent some time working on a sermon, and then I started all over as the Lord led me this morning. I had titled this sermon, Building Unity Through Our Faith in the Midst of Adversity and Tragedy. And I got thinking about it, boy, that's just too long. So I retitled it, Healing and Unity. Share another little insight between Mark and I with you all. Neither one of us knew we were going to be writing sermons as often as we are, but the Lord just chose us to do that. And we used to joke with each other. We officially started writing our sermon as soon as we got Good Morning Church on the page. We could say we started. And so Good Morning Church. I think there are many things in our human lives that can build bonds with each other, that can strengthen our unity, that can bring us together in ways that surpass, I guess, what we might call normal living, or even just normal friendships. Over the course of my life, I've been lucky to be to get to experience a few of those things, and I'll share a few with you today. For example, I was on a sports team that won a championship, and I think that the bond that you get together on the sports team is unique. It was my seventh grade year in middle school, my first year at Telstar, and it was the soccer team, and I didn't know anybody at all. But through that experience, we grew together as a group of kids that were all coming to a area school that didn't know each other, and we got these bonds, and we did that kind of through growing and learning and winning together. So I have friends developed out of that team that I still have some friendships with today. I've also been on the flip side of that coin. I've been on sports team that never won a game. I did say teams. But I think as much as winning on a sports team, there's that sense of togetherness there. I think even more so on the other side as we face the adversity together of struggling to win a game or struggling to just move on, that may actually build stronger bonds of us together in that sports team. All right, we face adversity together. We have the choice. We could give up or we could keep going. And together, we chose to keep going. It built this unity. We could hold each other up in our struggles and in our defeats. But those were high school, and while there's something there, it's still just not as significant. And one of the most powerful and really probably well-documented ways that people are brought together into a brotherhood is the military. We see TV shows and documentaries and movies just about how much people in the military are united, and that they've got that strength and that bond. Well, I was fortunate enough to experience that as well. Those friendships that I developed in high school were great, but they were nothing compared to the unity and the brotherhood that came from my time in the Navy. There was just something about spending every waking minute with the same group of guys in a confined space that kind of forces you to build those friendships. It wasn't just that we shared our lives with each other while we did that. But the reality of the situation was that our lives actually depended upon each other. And I don't say that lightly, because they did. And if someone else doesn't do their job, others die in the military. That's part of it. And so we learn to trust each other, to grow with each other. And there's very little that we experience in the military that is easy and fun. A lot of it is hard and difficult and high tension, high stress. But these relationships grew to the point, and Jenny can attest to this, that we'd get home from being out to sea for 6 months, and first thing we do is we call each other to come over and visit. Right? It's because we're a family. We had that bond. We had to be together. We're close. I know that I could pick up the phone today and call any number of my military friends, and they would be here today if I asked. They wouldn't even probably ask why. They would just say, when do you need me where? For a long time, I was convinced that nothing else I would experience would compete with that as developing a bond and friendship and brotherhood. Well, I was wrong. Serving together in ministry for the Lord even exceeds everything else I've experienced in the bonds of brotherhood. And when I talk about serving the Lord, I'm not talking about going through religious motions, but actually serving God in a sacrificial way to love on others, and doing so together as individuals and as the body of Christ, right? Together with you all. We've created these bonds. And we've done so because we're growing in sacrifice. We're giving up other aspects of our life to help other people. That's what God's called us to do. We think about how big of a whole we have. That's because we're one together as the body of believers. We do this work together. We love each other together. The love was so great, the pain is so great. Over the last 48 hours, I've had some time to reflect upon these things that have brought us together and really just how important those are for us moving forward. Because we can't move forward without each other. I hope we can all agree that life is often ugly, it is hard, and putting it mildly, it's full of adversity. We need to know that God never intended us to navigate this life alone. First, he gave us his Son. Second, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and through that, he gave us each other. Mark knew this. Mark believed that. Mark lived that. Mark understood the importance of us being united together in Christ. I want to back up a couple weeks, if you will. Many of you probably remember being blessed by what I think Daryl and I would agree was one of Mark's greatest sermons. The Lord used him well that day. Some of the most powerful part of that was it wasn't even a day Mark was scheduled to preach. Right? You might not know this, but today is Mark's day to preach. I'm blessed to be here for Mark. But on that Saturday 2 weeks ago, my mom had a heart attack. She was in the hospital. Right, she's, amen, with us. Amen. Pastor Mac, again, who's with us this morning, I was telling him, he's like, I feel so bad, but I wanted to reassure him that this is all part of God's plan, and we were blessed by that. Pastor Mac was supposed to, but he was sick, so sick he couldn't be here. Well, that very morning, Mark shared with us that Saturday morning, he had finished up a Bible study on Psalm 133. And he said to himself, wow, that would make a great sermon someday. And about an hour later, he found out that that someday was going to be the next day. Mark titled that sermon, he called it Dwelling in Unity. Dwelling in Unity, right? I want to read that psalm for you now. It's Psalm 133. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls from the mountains of Zion. For the Lord has commanded the blessings, life forevermore. We were blessed by Mark sharing with us the importance of being united. I'm not sure Mark fully understood, I'm sure he didn't at the time, how important that would be to us all. But God knew. God knew that we needed to hear that message on that Saturday, on that Sunday. God knew that we needed to rely on each other during a tough time upcoming, and chose Mark to deliver that message to us. Thursday night this week, I witnessed firsthand the power of standing together in Christ to hold each other up. As we gathered here, in hugs, in tears, in prayer, in fellowship, in telling stories. You see the power of being united in Christ. And so this morning, I just want to take a few minutes. I want to build off Mark's last sermon. And by the way, I'll encourage you, when you're ready, Mark's sermon is recorded on our website. So when you're ready to hear Mark, go listen to his last sermon. Mark always finished off his sermons with a verse that he felt really connected with what he was saying, and he finished up this last one with Romans 15:5 through 7. So that's where we're going to start today, is where he left off. Romans 5:5-7. It says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may have one voice glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. Linda shared with me the printed version of Mark's sermon, and I was reading through that, trying to find the right words for today. I found great comfort with that passage. I found a lot of encouragement in those verses. First, it reminded me of who God is. And sometimes in tragedy and hard days, we forget who God is. Right. Our God is the God of endurance and encouragement. Or as another translation puts it, he is the God of patience and comfort. Patience and comfort. And right now, church, I need God to be my comforter. And I need God to have patience with me, because I'm going to need a comforter for a long time. Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God doesn't change. That should give us some reassurance. God is good. God loves us. God's with us. He is our great comforter yesterday, today, and forever. And again, that's good, because we're going to need a comforter. As we struggle with the challenges in life, including hard days like today, it's important for us to remember who God is. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He's the everlasting God. Isaiah 40:28. He is love. 1 John 4:8. He is the light in the darkness. 1 John 1:5. He is perfect and he is our shield. Psalm 18:30. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. And as it says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And these verses just touch and just scratch the surface on who God is. We need to remember that we worship a God that is patient with us. He comforts us. He desires us to come to repentance. He desires us not to perish, but have everlasting life with him. That's his desire for all of us. That's our God. Mark and I would often talk about upcoming sermons that we were working on, partly because it would help us. We were struggling with verses, or we need to debate a piece of theology. But even more so, we would come to each other when we knew we were getting ready to preach a tough passage, maybe something that's not easy to hear. Well, a couple weeks ago, Mark asked for prayer because he was working on a sermon talking about our sin. And talking about our sin isn't always easy. I don't think it's ever easy, actually. But he said to me, "You know, I've realized that you can't properly understand the good news unless you fully understand the implications of the bad news." The reality is, we're all sinners. There's not a single person here, or anywhere for that matter, that can check the box of good enough. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. That's all. That's 100%. No one person sitting here is any better than anyone else sitting in a pew. Standing up here, standing behind. We are all sinners, and we all need Jesus Christ. That's the bad news. Our sin separates us from God. That's what it does. God is holy, God is good, God is perfect. Our sin is not, and it separates us. We can't exist with that perfect God. But we can be thankful that we've got a loving God who is patient with us. As it says in 2 Peter, right? He desires us to come to repentance to him. The good news here is that he's provided us a way. Right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that who should ever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross. It's because of his scars that he carries forward, his suffering, his death, his blood that was shed, that we can know salvation with our Lord. We can accept that free gift that God has given to us by believing upon Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's through faith alone in Christ that we are saved, not by being good, not by sinning less. It's by believing in him. So this passage, Romans 15, we should be comforted by God in who he is, that he is patient with us, because we all need God's patience with us. My second big takeaway from that passage is that it's through the power of God that we're able to comfort one another. When you look at this verse, Paul uses the phrase that says, "Now may the God." Right? The way Paul was phrasing that, it was like the form of a prayer. He was demonstrating and recognizing that it's the work of the Holy Spirit that does inside of us that we have the strength to support each other. As many of us experienced Thursday night and again today, I believe it's through the power of Christ that we can bring comfort to one another. So as trials and adversity come, as we face changes in season, we can follow the example set by the early church, and we can find comfort and strength in being united in Christ. We had an adult Bible study going, and Mark and I were taking turns going through the book, and we're going through the book of Acts, and in that book of Acts, we saw the church just starting to form, and it needed direction, and they didn't know what they were doing a lot of times, but they faced a ton of adversity. We see the early disciples and early church leaders; they were faced with the challenge of people not wanting to hear their message, to the point to where they were arrested, they're put in jail, they were beaten, even martyred. As we go through the book of Acts, we see that. And each time they face this adversity, we see them coming back together. And there's a theme as you go through it. It's that they were of one accord. The church prayed together. They served together. They dealt with adversity together. They're of one accord. They were united together. So as we move forward, as we are facing these hard things, let's do it together. Let's continue to share the gospel of Christ together. My third and final takeaway from this passage, Romans 15, is that in all that we do, we should be bringing glory to God. That's what Mark did. That's how he lived his life. Now, verses 6 and 7 say that together you may be with one voice. That together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And the Apostle Paul is making the appeal to us as believers that we need to stand united, not with just one voice, but with one mind and with one heart. And through our united voice, and our voice isn't just what we say, it's what we do. It's how we act. It's how we love on others. But as we live our lives, we will bring glory to God through that. In the book of John, chapter 17, we get this glimpse of a prayer that Jesus prayed. He's praying for unity in the church. Jesus said this. He said, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." So church, as we continue to navigate these challenges ahead, we need to remember who God is. He is a loving God who is patient for us. He is our comforter. He will give us the power we need to help each other through our trials and our hard days. It's through that we can find peace. And through it all, we must stand united through our actions to bring glory to God through praise and worship and loving on other people. Before I finish, there was one other article that I wanted to share with you, or at least a portion of it. It was from a study I did on facing adversity. So let me read that to you now. It says, most people miss the greatest thing in the entire world because they quit inwardly. They don't realize that God has a great plan and a great reward for them in this life and in the future run. That's why we have to keep pressing ahead no matter what. We can have patient endurance, even when going through the most difficult season in our lives. But to do this, we must get a basic understanding of adversity. First, people who are righteous and walking closely with the Lord still face and experience adversity in this world. No one is exempt. But the good news is, the Lord promises to deliver us as His children out of and through our afflictions when we believe and trust in Him. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Psalm 34:19. Second, God wants to transform your life through adversity. Why? It produces character. There will always be difficult things that we must overcome in every season, and God wants to use every single one of them to develop your character. The Apostle Paul, a man who knew suffering, wrote about this in his letter to the Christians in Rome. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into the hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 5:3-5. When we keep pressing ahead, that's when the love of God keeps getting poured out into our hearts. People who have suffered much and didn't give up, either outwardly or inwardly, have certain riches and strength in them. As we endure, God changes us. We become more loving, kind, patient, more like Christ. And that should give us hope. We don't try hard to be Christians. Our transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit who molds and shapes us through our trials. And third, we can take heart and remember that our sufferings and trials are temporary. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. 1 Peter 5:10. The things that we see and experience now are temporary. And at some point we need to believe that now isn't all that there is, and that there is a far bigger future. We need to see the eternal picture. God wants us to live in the now, but live in the light of the forever. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank you for our time we had with Mark. Lord, I thank you for his love of all of us, the love that he shared, the love of Christ, his passion for you and your word. Lord, I pray that through today, Lord, that we might gain some footing in healing. Lord, I pray that we will have the strength to press ahead, Lord, that we will through this trial, Lord, through this hard day, Lord, through the hard days to come, Lord, that you might continue to build character in us, Lord, and grow our hope. Lord, I pray that we might continue Mark's work, continue your work here at Calvary Bible Church, Lord, and we will do so with your strength through us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.